Well, school ended last week, and this weekend it is Pentecost, and tomorrow it's Memorial Day, which means, ready or not, summer is here. For a lot of us, the arrival of summer means that it is time to do a bit of traveling. And the lucky ones among us will head for cooler or wetter places once the thermometer hits those feared triple digits. We'll load up in our cars, we'll book our flights so that we can head out to find some mountains or lakes or beaches. And as evidenced by attendance here the last few weeks, some of you have begun this travel already. There's a certain word that we commonly use in reference to the places that we spend so much energy and effort seeking out in summertime. We say that these beautiful places that we go to are breathtaking. We'll look out from a high mountain summit. We will gaze out at the sun setting over the ocean, and we'll take a deep breath and say, ah, breathtaking. But I wonder, are they breathtaking, or are they actually breath-giving? Do they take our breath away, or do they actually put breath back into us? I know as for me, when I am watching the sun rising over the Rocky Mountains, nothing is being taken from me, but something is definitely being given. In these places, it can feel like the lungs of our souls are being filled up, like we are being renewed. So perhaps we should call these places, these experiences, these moments, breath-giving instead of breath-taking. Breath-giving is quite literally what Jesus was up to in that locked upper room long ago. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In Hebrew, the word for breath is ruach. You can say it. Ruach. I love Hebrew. It has a good throat-clearing feel to it. Those of us who suffer from allergies just need to speak in Hebrew more often. The word ruach means breath. It also means spirit. So what Jesus is breathing upon the disciples in that upper room is the same force, the same life, that rushes down upon them on the day of Pentecost. It is the ultimate moment of breath giving, because Jesus is giving his followers the very same breath that gave life to the world. It is his final gift to them, and it is also the most important of his gifts. After showing them who to love and how to love, after giving them new commandments and teaching them how to pray, after passing through death itself in order to come back to them, there is only one thing left for him to give them: his breath. And Jesus knew that they were going to need it once they were on their own without him. They would need his ruach if they were going to share his good news in a world that seems obsessed with bad news. They would need his spirit if they were going to show compassion to a world that seems perpetually stuck in cycles of suspicion and despair. They would need his breath to be able to proclaim truth in a world that is habituated to falsehood. For his disciples to live and love like Jesus, they would need his ruach, his spirit, his breath. Jesus is still trying to give us his breath today, friends. Get this. Scientists say that the air in our atmosphere is the same air that has been in the atmosphere for millions of years. The molecules will break apart and reformulate in different configurations, but the air is fundamentally the same air that has been in the atmosphere for millions of years. Which means that some trace of the air in this place right now was likely floating around in that upper room on the day Jesus took a great big gulp of air into his lungs and breathed it out on his disciples. I like to think about that whenever Jesus feels very, long ago and far away. I like to think about how his breath is still in the world, ready to give all of us the spirit we need to carry on his mission of love. Jesus is still hoping that we will pay enough attention to all of the opportunities we are given for breath giving when he is trying to breathe some of that Holy Spirit, that ruach, into us in order to counter all of the breath taking that happens all the time. Because the world, as you well know, is very good at knocking the holy air right out of us. All we have to do is turn on the news, or the radio, or scroll through our feeds, and with every act of gun violence, every attack on the civil rights of vulnerable people, every natural disaster, we lose a little bit of our breath. Not to mention the problems in our families, or sudden medical diagnoses, or financial uncertainties, and it can feel like we're having the breath knocked out of us all the time. Those are the occasions that we should refer to as breathtaking. Which is why we have to remember God's desire to give us the breath of the Holy Spirit. We need to be breathing in that ruach all the time to refill, to replenish our souls every time that wind is knocked out of us. Because it's when we're breathless that we get anxious and angry. It's when we are breathless that we get fearful and cynical. But it is when we are full of breath, God's good breath, that we can live and love like Jesus. So how then? How do we do this? How can we get some more of that holy breath into our spiritual lungs? Well, first of all, remember that when we are baptized, as we will do in just a moment to these precious children, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is like a mini Pentecost with more water and less fire. But the same Spirit, which is to say, ruach, is not something we have to beg God to give us, so much as air that we simply have to remember to breathe. And I, for one, maybe you're similar, remember to do that kind of spiritual breathing when I am in those supposedly breathtaking kinds of places, which are, as I said, breath-giving. Because, well, you know this, wonder and awe are breath-giving. That's why we call these places inspiring. Inspire literally means to
breathe in.
When we marvel at some magnificent sight, we are being given breath. God's goodness is flowing in through our senses. So, for example, when I was with a group of pilgrims from Transfiguration in Mexico a few months ago to see the overwintering site of the monarch butterflies, some of you are tired of me talking about them, it was one of the most breath-giving experiences of my entire life. We were huffing and puffing at 10,000 feet of altitude, struggling to get enough air in our lungs, but we were all taking in great big deep gulps of holy breath as we witnessed God's delight in winged form in the millions of butterflies dancing all around us. Beauty is breath-giving. Wonder and awe are breath-giving. So if you are going somewhere special this summer, be mindful about breathing deeply. And I'm not just talking about the physical act of taking in air. I'm talking about the spiritual act of taking in ruach, breath, spirit. God wants to replenish you, so breathe in. Pray with your gratitude and your wonder and your awe, and let God fill up your soul. Breath giving can happen around tables, too. I recently had lunch with a good friend. It was nothing fancy or special, just an unhurried lunch with my friend, in which we talked about our families and books and our lives and scripture. When we are with people we care about, who care about us, the Holy Spirit is with us there too. Which is why, as I left that lunch table, I could feel my soul being fuller, because my time with my friend was breath-giving. Sometimes I just stand in my garden and I watch the bees busy on the flowers, or the birds playing on the feeder, or I just stick my nose right into one of the gardenia blossoms and I just take a nice deep breath and I draw in that heavenly scent. And I also feel God's good holy ruach rushing in. Most especially, though, we should remember that breath giving is what we are here all about every single week. In every liturgy of word and sacrament, we are being invited to breathe in the Holy Spirit. So we need to come here often, regularly, to take long, slow drafts of holy wind from the scriptures and the prayers and the Eucharist. There is ruach in this place and in this fellowship, in the music, and hopefully on occasion even in the preaching. It's all part of the breath that God is trying to give to us. But we have to remember to breathe it in. Jesus doesn't force the Holy Spirit on his disciples, and he will not force the Holy Spirit on you. The breath is given, but you and I, we have to receive it. So come often, and come ready to breathe. For the breath of Jesus is still hovering in the air all around us. The same ruach that filled the disciples is ready to enter into your soul and fill you with the same life and peace. So close your eyes and open your hearts and breathe.